The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to another week, another edition, another episode of the Computer Corner. We got four of the most popular guys in technology in all the Phoenix Metro. No, in all the United... No, in the galaxy.
There you go.
Sitting in this one room. To my left, my far left, the Iowa State shirt on.
No, not Iowa State.
Oh, excuse me, Iowa Hawkeyes.
There you go.
Looking proud as can be.
Yes.
I don't know sports at all. That's why.
Don't ever say that again.
That's why we don't do shows across the hall at Sports 620, right?
There you go.
It's Ben Cruzy.
Yep. That's me.
That's Ben. So he's on my far left, on your far right, if you're listening to the radio. In the center seat across from me, the man that needs no introduction. Well, I'll give you his first name. It's Robert. His second name is D'Arezzo.
That's correct. Thank you again for having me.
Did I do it just right?
Perfect.
Yes, see? After a year now, I got your name right for your last name. Not that you can blame me for screwing that up. And then to my far right, bringing us some love from the dark side. No, it's not James Earl Jones. It is Louis Georges from Mac Media.
Good afternoon.
Howdy. Afternoon. It just did flip over to afternoon, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then, of course, all you out there joining us, we have lots of ways for you to join us. Oh, my name, Brandon Disney, by the way. Been doing this for over a decade. So we've got guys here that know how to help you with your technology woes, with your computer consternation, whatever your issue might be. We're here to help you out. We can do it in the Windows world, the Mac world. We can talk about smartphones. We can talk about just about any kind of technology you want to talk about. And we can do it at 602-277-5827. It's 277-5827. KTAR. Of course, you can always join us online at our website, datadoctors.com. Datadoctors.com. When you're there, you click where it says radio show and you'll see a theme, because each and every week we have a theme. We have resources for you. We have places for you to ask questions and make suggestions. We have places for you to post in a blog. We have all kinds of cool stuff there for you. And then, of course, after the show, we efforts to get the audio archives posted as soon as we can, generally by Monday, and then you can always go back in time. And, of course, you can subscribe to our podcast, and you can do that right there at the site, or if you're on Apple iTunes, just search for Data Doctors. You'll find us in seconds. You can subscribe to a podcast there as well, and you can check those things out on your own schedule. So lots of options for you. Again, the phone line, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. I mentioned that now, and you should commit it to memory because those lines oftentimes fill up very quickly and then remain full through the show's duration. So when you hear people hang up, that's your turn to call in, 602-277-5827. I told you we have a theme each week. And we thought with this event, it's an annual event that's coming up next week, I believe April 22nd. That's Wednesday, unless my math is completely off. Wednesday. It's Earth Day. And you're thinking, well, how does Earth Day tie in with technology? What does that? It doesn't make any sense. What does technology have to do with the Earth and feeling green and good? Well, there's a huge tie-in, and that is old electronics. Anything that plugs in, anything that takes batteries, that's what we call electronics. Those things, when you're done with them, when they've finished their useful life, either the useful life that they have or the useful life that you can use them for, those things may or may not be usable by others. But certainly, in either case, if they're usable by others, it's a good idea to get them into the hands of people that can use them rather than just throw them away, whether that's through donating at a thrift store or whatever the case might be. But when they're beyond their useful life, they just don't work anymore, they're not worth repairing, those kinds of things, you bought a new monitor because your old monitor stopped functioning and it's not going to do anybody else any good, so might as well throw that thing right in the trash, right?
No.
If you throw it in the trash, it goes into landfill, and you know what that means, right? Not good for anybody. And so we work with and have resources posted for you for where you can look to recycle your used electronics, your electronics that no longer have a useful life for you. And the people we work with actually work in two different ways, meaning they go ahead. We use our stores, and you've probably heard throughout the years, Data Doctor stores all over the country. We participate in computer recycling and electronics recycling and really just responsible recycling of those things all year long. And I think, Lewis, you guys over at Mac Media, you guys do the same, right?
We take anything in.
Yeah, and I'm here to tell you, we don't take those items and put them to use for our own good. I can tell you we don't make any money off of you bringing those things. And in some cases, in some places, we actually have to pay money to take the stuff that you give us to get it properly recycled or get it into the right hands of people. So it's taking up space in our stores, in our warehouses. It's taking up time. It's taking up resources for us, sometimes taking up money. We keep doing it year after year because we think it's part of our responsibility because of the business we're in to do that, and because we want to help do our part in making sure that things don't end up in landfills. And when there's things out there that are useful technology that may not be useful to you anymore, we want to make sure that those things get into the hands of people that can use them. And so the groups we work with, and I think, Lewis, you guys work with the same kind of groups that we do as far as recycling is concerned, they do a good job of determining the stuff that you all, people listening out there and our customers and just anyone, they do a good job of making sure that the stuff that you donate gets separated into two piles. One, usable stuff that somebody can maybe with a little bit of fixing, with a little bit of polishing, with a little bit of whatever the case might be.
TLC.
Yeah, a little bit of TLC. That stuff can become usable for someone else. And so we get it into the hands of the people that do that and fix it up. And then it goes into the hands of people who couldn't afford computers or technology in general, or maybe just are on limited budgets, especially with times as they are. And for the other stuff, the stuff that just doesn't make any sense to try to repair, there's no amount of TLC that's going to bring this thing back from the dead, then the components get properly stripped down so that we don't end up with all the junk in the landfills. And so the heavy metals go into this pile, and the gold and tin goes over here, and the silver goes over there, and the boards get pulverized into this, and that gets recycled and turned into, who knows, maybe the newspaper you're reading or some plastic jug that some cleaning product comes in, or all kinds of different things. And so there's lots that goes on in that world. And we of course, like I said, we have stores all over. Lewis has two stores here in the Valley, and we've got information on our website, datadoctors.com/radio, to things that you maybe haven't even thought of before you donate. What about getting rid of all the information that's on there, securely deleting that information? We've got some resources posted for you for that. A kind of an overview of all the kinds of things, the toxic things that are inside of computers and monitors and electronics in general that you may not even know about. Things like mercury, like arsenic. These kinds of things are contained in the products that you use, and just thrown in the landfill, that's not a good thing. I don't have to tell you that. So we've got links for that. We've got places that are nonprofit centers all over the country that we can hook you up with, that you can get your electronics taken care of if you're outside of the area where we're broadcasting here on land-based radio. We've got all kinds of good stuff there. We'll talk about some of those resources, talk about some of the things you can do as the show progresses. Of course, your calls, your questions, whatever they might be in the technology, where we'll take them at 602-277-5827. I got two lines open for you. 602-277-KTAR. That's the number for you. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to jump right into your calls and questions right here on the Computer Corner. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about Earth Day, making sure you're doing your part to be green by not putting electronics, computers, and old stuff in landfills, and instead getting them properly recycled. We've got links and resources posted for you on what you should do before you recycle, like deleting the data that's on there securely, and where you can partake in some recycling. You just cruise on over to datadoctors.com/radio. And you'll see those resources there posted for you, including a link I just added under this week's links. It says you can also recycle at Mac Media in Phoenix, because we forgot to add Lewis into the pie. So if you're on the west side over like in the Arrowhead area or in Old Town Scottsdale, Lewis has got some locations out there. Mac Media is the name on the building. And
and we take more than just Macs.
We'll
take your PCs as well.
Yeah. In fact, if you wanted to take your PC and then talk to them about Macs, they'll be happy to do that too, I'm sure.
we're more than happy to convert people.
Convert them to the dark side. Why does your thing say Go Green September 6th? I'm confused.
That was the last Go Green event we had.
Oh,
and we're going to have another one soon, so that'll be updated probably next week.
But they're going green all year long, so don't worry about that it says September 6th. Just, you know, call them up, make sure that they're not completely full before you drive down there. But
We've gotten large television screens. And
yeah, I've heard that the TVs are actually kind of a pain for the recyclers, and we're trying to get Earl from over at West Tech Recycling to call in to talk about maybe what's the best option for TVs in general, because TVs right now kind of a big thing because of the switchover. A lot of people have older TVs. They want to get rid of them. They're not worth anything if you're trying to sell them, and so people are stuck with these things. And
well, it's the CRTs, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of times it's the CRTs, and I know that they're particularly a challenge for recyclers, and so if there's something special about recycling old television specifically, we thought we'd get Earl to help us with where we can point people for that. So if you have an old TV, you're in that situation, you need to get rid of it, stay tuned for the show, and hopefully we'll have Earl on in just a bit to talk about that and what you can do to responsibly recycle your old TV.
Now, one of the things I meant to ask you before the break is, does Data Doctors charge a core fee?
A core fee?
You know, kind of like dropping your tires off at the discount tire? Or...
Yes, we charge a humongous core fee, and that is, no. People, all year long, we've been doing it for years and years and years. I'm sure it's the same as you. Again, it's part of our responsibility we sell the technology. A lot of times people don't even realize we sell computers too. We don't just fix them. But part of what we think is the responsible thing to do is, since we sell those kinds of products, we ought to participate in responsibly getting rid of the old ones that people don't want, whether they're buying from us or not. That's just what we think is the right thing to do. In some states, California I know for sure, that's become a requirement now, that if you sell electronics, if you sell computers specifically, you have to take old ones in as donations, and I think you're allowed to charge, and they have all kinds of weird rules, and you can get reimbursed. And we said, you know what, we don't care if it's a law or not. It's something that you should be doing. So we do it.
And when people don't know, when people come to the stores, they don't know that we do this all year round. It's just not like one day or one
right.
week a year. We do it all year
round.
And
we usually have a couple of events throughout the year. We had actually done Earth Day specific events in the past. Earth Day always falls in the middle of the week, which is weird. And so we sort of try to do it around weekends, around the radio show, because we can use the power of the airways to really drive people into places and locations and events. And our stores sometimes can get really loaded up if we do those big events without having a specific place to drive people to.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of collection centers that can take the larger items. And so if you have larger items, our stores are not real big. Get in contact with the stores before you just show up. We can oftentimes put you in contact directly with the recycler, who may even be able to come and pick it up from you, saving you a bunch of hassle and us and everybody. So large items, give us a call first before you just show up. It's not always something we can accommodate. So.
Yeah, I know the last event we had to use two entire parking lots.
Yep.
In order to
the big events,
maintain the amount of e-waste coming in.
The big events that we'll do, you've seen the big tractor trailer, you know, semi-trucks. We filled oftentimes two or three of those full, top to bottom, I mean, packed full of stuff. So,
my store last year just filled one of them up by itself. That's crazy.
Yep. So when we do those big events, like I said, we like to do them as events. We take anything at the big locations for your regular stuff that you got every day, stuff all throughout the year. You don't have to wait for any specific time. And again, resources posted for you, datadoctors.com/radio, including a link to Lewis's place. So check that stuff out. Should we jump on the phones?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Hook people up with some knowledge, some mad love, some skills.
Drop some science.
Well, I hear music in the background, which tells me that if we're going to do that, all we can do is find out sort of what's happening. Maybe we'll ask Bob. Hey, Bob, real quick, we got to go to a break, but I want to find out before we go to break what kind of problem you're having, and then we'll solve it when we come back. Bob?
All right. Yeah. I have an old Windows 98 system, and I want to back up all my files. And I'm having a problem trying to find somebody to put it on one disk, and I want to be able to find out if I could transfer all of this data over to a newer PC and a newer program.
Okay, so we got what you're trying to do. We're going to pop you right back on hold. We're going to take a quick timeout here. We got a line open for you at 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. When we come back, how can Bob back his junk up and put it on a new PC? Stick around. It's the Computer Corner. Welcome back. It's the Computer Corner. We've got just a whole boatload of people here to help you with your technology concerns, your computer issues. Ben Cruz, Robert Dedizer, Louis Georges, Brandon Disney, Data Doctors, and one Mac Media guy here for the next hour and a half to hook you up with mad knowledge. We got a line open for you, 602-277-5827. That's the number you dial if you want to talk to us, like Bob did, if I can find Bob. Before we went to the break, Bob was telling us he has a Windows 98 machine. I think I can remember back that far. And he wants to back all his stuff up and put it on a new machine, I'm assuming like a Windows Vista machine. And he wants to know two things. One, how do I do that? Are you hiking through the snow, Bob? Or is there a train behind you? And the second thing, the second thing he wants to know is, will his stuff work? So, sorry, Bob, I cut you off there. What were you saying?
All right, I'm at a shop here getting my truck worked on.
Awesome.
But, I want to be able to back it up so if something happens in the transition, at least I have it. I can go back to this old computer I have for the last 10 years. And, like I said, the second part is, can I transfer all this data from an old system onto a newer computer, different format?
All right, so there's two questions there. One, you should be backing up on a regular basis, so I'd recommend you do that. In Windows 98, there's a little utility built in called Windows Backup that does an okay job of sort of letting you select stuff and letting you tell it where you want to back it up. It's sort of fairly utility in the way it works, so you could give that a shot. The other thing you can try is if you just know where your stuff lives that you care about, for example, if it's all in My Documents, you can copy it from there.
That, to interrupt you, if my hard drive crashes or something happens, I want something on a disk, you know, something that I can download again. So I'm just not too sure about this hard drive anymore.
Well, so that becomes a lot more complicated. You want to create something that we in the industry refer to as an image. And in Windows 98, you'd need to get some software and some hardware to be able to do such a thing. If it was my machine, I would, first, if you're looking at purchasing something new soon, I would back up what's critical to you now. And if it was my machine, this may not be what you can do, but if it was my machine, as soon as I got the new machine, I'd take the hard drive out of the old 98 box, stick it on as a second drive temporarily, and copy everything over. Now, for most consumers, for most people out there that are hobbyists, that kind of thing, that's going to be, for a lot of people, beyond their capabilities. And so then the next thing you look at as well, is there what is it I care about? Because you can't take the entire thing, back it up, put it onto a new machine, meaning the operating system and everything, and have everything work. It's not going to happen. So can you take all your Word files and your Excel spreadsheets and your address book and that kind of stuff and save them and import them on the new machine or copy them to the same location where they're usable? Absolutely. And so that's the challenge, is identifying what it is that you care about, and only the data, right? And then getting it from point A to point B. Now, Lewis is over there shaking his head saying, if you had a Mac, you know, you could just take and plug the two things together and off you'd go.
I would never say that.
He would make it sound a lot easier than it actually is. It would be similar steps, but different steps.
It's just that pompous attitude I have.
Yes. So I don't know that we've exactly answered your question. If you truly want to make a backup of the machine in the state it's in, so that if something happens, you can sort of go back in time to that state, then you're going to need to get some software. There's two different products. Either one would do the job. One is from a company called Acronis, and it's called, True Image. The other is from Symantec, and it's called Ghost. Either of those pieces of software is half of the equation. The other thing is that you need a hard drive that is the same size or larger than the drive in the Windows 98 machine you have today. And with those two pieces of the software and the equipment and a little bit of time and configuration and know-how, you can make that image you're talking about.
And make sure it's compatible with Windows 98 before you do purchase it.
And that's that. So for that, it's also going to have to do with if your machine's 10 years old, there's an excellent chance that large hard drives that you'd buy today off the shelf, even the smallest ones you'd buy, your machine won't recognize properly.
Well, what do they show up as, like 120 gig?
Yeah, the machines would max out, but if the machine's 10 years old, the machine itself, it may not be an operating system limitation. The machine itself may have a limitation that's lower than that.
Yeah, I know when we do that on the Mac side, we have to add an IDE controller.
Right.
And then it gives you the ability to go to the larger hard drives.
Yes. It's something called logical block addressing. Very exciting, but it means that basically older machines can't utilize the technology of today oftentimes. Then the final piece of this whole thing is if the drive is external. Windows 98 was the borderline operating system that began working with USB, so it depends on what version of 98. It may or may not even support USB, and if it does, it may have limited support for different devices. So it's you're not in a... I don't have a straightforward, here's one, two, three steps and you're there, Bob. It's you got to kind of evaluate what you got and decide, is it worth going through all of that to make a snapshot, or do you just back up what's critical to you, which is what I would do, what Ben would do, what I think everybody in the room would do here.
I see.
Okay.
Okay. Is there a shop I could just take all this into and have them do the whole thing for me? Or
Absolutely. Tell you what, I'll point you in a direction. What part of the value are you in?
East Phoenix.
East Phoenix. I'm trying to think where that would be. East Phoenix. Give me some cross streets.
Baseline and 24th Street.
24th Street and Baseline. All right. You could go down to Ahwatukee, you could go over to Tempe, into Scottsdale, or kind of central Phoenix. I've got stores all over the place. Tell you what, you could go to our website, datadoctors.com, put in your zip code, and it'll show you the five closest locations to you. Any of those locations, you just go in and tell them that we sent you in. They're going to take a little bit of time to understand what you got, understand where it is you're trying to go, and then give you some options of what can happen, and none of that's going to cost you anything to get that far.
Excellent.
Make sense?
Makes sense.
All right, Bob. Hey, thanks for the call, and good luck.
Hey, thank you very much for the information.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. That frees up a line at 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Now, when Bob's done with that machine, he gets his new one, he gets all this stuff off, he's sure his new one's running exactly the way he wants, he's got all this stuff. There's two steps that Bob needs to take after that. And this is not just for Bob, it's for people just like Bob who are buying, getting ready to buy, just purchased recently a new computer. And that is that your old computer, again, once you've got all your stuff off, you need to think about, well, what kind of stuff is on this machine that I wouldn't be happy falling into the hands of somebody I don't know? For example, bank statements, past year's tax records, things that have your social security number, your date of birth, those kind of stuff, sensitive documents, things that you just wouldn't want other people to have, right? So you need to get a piece of software that can help you get all that stuff off before you donate it, which is the second step, right? We've got a link to some software that's free that you can download. If you're a little bit handy, it will take a little bit of your time, but it won't take any of your money. datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see the link there under this week's resources, and you can securely delete, which means not just delete it, which is pretty easy to get back, delete it in such a way that it can't be retrieved, and it's what's considered Department of Defense standards for secure deletion, meaning it's what the federal government uses to destroy information that they want to make sure nobody else can get. So that ought to be pretty good for little old Ben or Robert or, Joe, Frank, Bob, whoever.
I did it a few weeks ago.
Yep. So it's really simple if you got a little bit of time, a little bit of patience. If you'd rather just pay somebody to take care of it, then just make sure you hook up with somebody that you trust, because you're handing them your data and you're asking them to tell you that it's taken care of. You want to make sure that it actually is. The worst thing in the world is to pay somebody to supposedly make sure all your stuff is gone, and a few years from now find out that somebody stole your identity because they didn't do their job. They just stuck it in a pile.
Well, if you're really handy, you just break out the drill press.
The drill press, or there is also another way that you can do. If you're a little bit handy with the screwdriver, you can take and remove the hard drive from the computer and then donate everything but that hard drive. Throw the hard drive on a shelf in your closet in case you need it down the road because you forgot there's something on there, whatever the case might be. But that hard drive is is a small component. You can just leave it and donate everything else, and for sure, all your information is left with you. So that's another option you got. Again, we have resources posted for you for a program to securely delete, or if you want to hook up with a recycler in your area, datadoctors.com/radio for that. Let's see if we can help out. Who's next? I think Alan's been hanging out the longest, so we will get Alan up next here on the Computer Corner. Alan, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a problem you might think is simple. To me, it's very, very difficult. I have two computers, a laptop and a desktop. I have a little internet system or a Lexus router in my house. When I tell the laptop to print a document to my printer, it won't do it.
Okay, so your laptop, the printer is physically hooked up to the desktop machine?
That's correct. It's a Hewlett-Packard C5180 printer.
Okay, and you can print to it from the desktop, no problem, right?
That's right, but I cannot print from the laptop.
Does it give you an error message? Does it just do nothing?
It says I don't recognize a printer. You know, let me clarify that. Sometimes I can print a test page. As far as a document goes, I cannot do that. But even when I print the test page, it takes 5 minutes.
So my best guess, and I'm guessing it's Ben's best guess, let's say it at the same time so we'll know if each other are off. Ready, Ben?
Okay.
I think the problem is a
Sharon?
Print driver.
Oh.
We have different ideas here.
The Mac guy says print driver, too.
The Mac guy says print driver. Ooh. Robert, you're the tiebreaker.
I'm going to go with the print driver.
Print driver. Ooh. 3 out of 4 guys say, let's suspect the print driver first, only because you can sometimes print a test page, and a test page only. And test pages aren't really a very good test of whether the printer is properly configured. It's like a real basic kind of page that it sends to it. So what I would do, if I was you, I would go to HP's website on the laptop. I would go to their support section, the driver download area, and plug in the model number of that thing and download the latest drivers and very specific word drivers for the operating system on the laptop. Meaning if your laptop is running Vista, make sure the drivers are Vista compatible. It doesn't matter what's running on the desktop because we're doing all this on the laptop, right?
Yep. Both of my computers are Vista, WorkPack 1, I think you call it.
Yep.
They're both brand new.
Yep, but they may or may not, I mean, when they were built and when Vista was designed years ago, and it's been 6 years already, believe it or not, it may know what that printer is on its own. Don't trust that it has the best software for it. So go download whatever the latest is. Don't use whatever came on the disk, and don't let Windows decide in this case because I don't think it's decided properly. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Give that a shot, and if it doesn't work, you give us a call back, and we'll give you some more ideas.
Thank you.
We'll try Ben's idea, all right? Thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Alan. You have a great weekend. We got a line open, 602-277-5827. When we come back, we're going to tell you a little bit about something that Microsoft is pushing to your computer right now, and you don't even know it, and it may be bad for you. Stick around. Are you a Gmail lover?
Yes.
Do you roll with the Gmail?
Uh-huh.
Well, if you're a Gmail kind of guy or gal, in your case, Ben, you might want to beware of Internet Explorer 8.
What?
Yeah, Internet Explorer 8 and Gmail, there's some compatibility issues. If you have already downloaded or gotten yourself upgraded to Internet Explorer 8, you may have noticed up at the top next to the address bar, there's a compatibility mode button you can click. You might want to click that when you're on the Gmail site to have a less problematic viewing experience. And you can actually assign certain sites like Gmail site to always come up that way so that you don't have to keep clicking it every time you go there. So you might want to give that a shot. We have actually last week's newspaper column was about Internet Explorer 8 and some of its cool features. And we've outlined a few of the less than cool features. And it's also the thing that I was talking about before we went to break. Microsoft has begun actively providing it as part of the automatic updates process. And there are some tools out there if you don't want the new version for whatever particular reason, because maybe you connect with a corporate intranet and it's not ready yet, whatever the case might be. Just look for IE8 space block. IE8 space block. Google search that and you will find, don't use any of the third-party things that you find. Microsoft has a little utility you can run that will block that update for the next 6 months, and then you can decide again if you want to keep blocking it or not. So if you need to block that, again, Google search IE8 space block, and then take the link that is the Microsoft link. if you need to do that. If you want more research, more information about Internet Explorer 8 and some of the dangers of what it might do with Gmail, it was in this week's newsletter, which was sent out yesterday. If you are not a subscriber, it's easy to subscribe. Head our website, datadoctors.com. Look for the place to put in your email address. It's on almost every page. Hit the subscribe button and in you go. If for some reason you can't get it, or you want to get a preview, or if you want to just read what we're talking about, the Free Help Center, the newsletter archive you will find within the Free Help Center at our website. So datadoctors.com, Free Help Center, and then the newsletter archive, and you'll see the last 20 of them posted, and look for the one that has yesterday's date on it. It'll be easy from there. So check that out. And if, again, it's coming to you, unless you stop it, you will eventually be receiving it as part of an upgrade. For most people, it should be just fine, but there are always those special circumstances, and you know who you are. If it's something that you don't want, don't need, can't have, whatever the case is, get it blocked. Back to the phones.
Let's do it.
Were we talking to somebody?
Alan? No.
No, we finished up with him, didn't we?
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't see any Alans there, so I think we're okay.
Pick somebody.
Yeah, John is up next here on the computer corner. He's been patiently waiting and standing by, and we appreciate that. Hey, John, how can we help?
Oh, yes, sir. I got an IBM ThinkPad laptop, and I had some problems with it, and whenever I had a buddy of mine fix it up, now whenever I go online, like to I got Google as my homepage or any page at all, whenever, you know, you have a little, like a little Google bar where you type in things and then it brings up suggestions and all that stuff, the bar is, like, really tiny, and you can't even see the letters you type. They're small, like, little dots.
The bar is tiny, the letters are dots. Only on the Google toolbar, nothing else has this kind of problem?
No, it's everything. I went to set up my wireless router through Linksys, and I couldn't read any of the stuff that I had typed, and I had to go to my desktop and bring up the same page and read what I was typing in there, and you know what I mean?
Like, if you open up a document in Word, everything's okay, right? But if everything online or everything all over the system?
Everything online.
Okay. So, a couple of things. You running Internet Explorer on your machine?
Yes, sir.
Okay. There's a way to change the font size, the default font size. Mm-hmm. And not every website respects it, but many do. Inside of Internet Explorer, under View, there should be an option that says Text Size. And by default, it should be set at medium. I bet you he has smaller or smallest selected, which is making things really tough to read. And if you change that back to medium, my guess is that's going to solve your problem. If not, then the default font size in Windows has been changed, and that's in your control panel under display, I want to say. Okay?
Under display?
Yes, sir.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you, sir.
But I'd look in the browser settings first. Again, View, Text Size, and choose medium as the medium thing. Thanks for the call, John. We got to run to a quick break here. That leaves the line open for you. 602-277-5827. Or where can they find us online if they want resources, Ben?
datadoctors.com/help.
Slash radio, sir.
Oh, radio?
Slash radio. We're on the radio.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Stick around.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to hour number two. At least it feels like it is hour number two, right? Yeah, it
sure
is hour number two.
Yeah,
like I said, welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. I'm not screaming at you, don't worry. In case you missed any part of the show, fear not. We've got resources posted for you. We're talking about Earth Day, how you can make sure to keep your electronics that are no longer useful to you or are no longer useful to anyone out of landfills, and maybe securely delete all the stuff that you need to before you recycle, and to get it into the hands of the right people. We got resources, links, information, all posted for you, datadoctors.com/radio. You can check that stuff out, and it's there to live in, well, it lives on forever. I was checking out the other day to see how far back our archives go, and we go all the way back to this month, April 2001. Now, we've been doing the show
wow.
for a little over 11 years, But our archives do go back, what is that, just over 8 years?
It's old school.
That is old school. So we go back a ways. If you miss shows, you don't have to worry. We also record each show, and we effort to get that up on the site, and so you can subscribe to the podcast and listen to the show on your own schedule anytime. You can subscribe through iTunes. Just search for Data Doctors, or right on our site, datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see the link there to subscribe. Check it out.
Slash radio.
Yeah. It's time for something we like to call our Geek Speak of the Week. Each and every week. And I do mean each and every week. We do hours and hours. Well, okay. Minutes. A few seconds worth of research. We find something in the vernacular of geekdom. And then we bring it to you so that you can understand what that oddity is that those geeks talk about. Robert, this week's Geek Speak, please.
All right, well, the Geek Speak of the Week will be Designated Texter.
Designated Texter?
A passenger who reads and replies to text messages received on the driver's phone, allowing the driver to focus on driving safety.
So Ben has you in the car, right? Let me get this straight.
Always, we're always driving together.
Ben's a good guy. And doesn't text while driving because he knows that A, that's irresponsible, B, that's illegal, and C, that's just plain dumb. But Ben still has to communicate with his people? No, tweeple? No.
Peeps.
Just tweeple.
Yeah, peeps is outdated now, I think.
Is it? It's tweeps?
With just people and stuff, right?
Yes.
Ben cannot stop his communication. He's got to let everybody know all the time what's happening, and he's got to be finding out what's happening, and where's the hot party at tonight, and what's going on World of Warcraft, and whatever, right? So, since Robert's in the car, he hands him over his phone and says, hey, dude, hit up Lewis for me and text him this, right? So you text for him on his behalf, and now you're a designated texter. That's the best thing we could come up with our 30 seconds.
It's honestly kind of lame.
Yeah, pretty lame.
Pretty lame.
Sorry about this week's.
But it's pretty important, too, because texting and driving is not smart.
Designated texter, but that's a stretch.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah, if you're texting, don't drive. If you're driving, don't text.
That's right. Or don't tweet.
Right.
I'm stuck on the freeway in traffic. Well, everybody is stuck on the freeway in traffic.
Yeah, or update your Facebook status.
Well, that's not wrong to do while you're driving, is it?
It's texting, pretty much.
What? Yeah. No way. All right, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Back to the phones. We got a line open, by the way, 602-277-5827. Robert really wishes you'd give him a call. And, in fact, Lewis was just saying before we came back from the break, if we don't get at least one person that has a Mac that has a problem calling, what did you say?
They're going to make us look bad. The Mac users,
yeah,
that is.
That's true.
So
now is your chance. If you've got Mac problems.
They might be shy people.
They could be. Could be. Or it could be that there's just hardly any of them to call. Oh!
Wow.
If I was Mac or Gatos, I'd say burn! But I'm not those guys, so I won't. Yeah.
Or I guess you could say no one has Mac problems.
Problems.
Oh, come on. Don't believe the hype, bro. Don't believe the hype. They still try to print and occasionally can't. They still try to connect multiple computers up in a network configuration and sometimes can't.
It's all smoke and mirrors.
It's all smoke and mirrors. They still have problems with hardware and hard drives that die. You still need to back up if you have a Mac, right?
Well, you know, you do, of course, but we get that a lot. People will come in and go, you know, the hard drive died, and Macs don't break.
Right.
And then I have to explain to them that Apple doesn't make hard drives and that hard drives are made
relatively cheap these days.
And
Apple picks oftentimes the cheapest manufacturer of hard drives, which they put quality components in almost the entire system, but they pick, in my opinion, some of the junkiest hard drive manufacturers. They use Mac Store hard drives all the time. And Mac Store hard drives are from a place that does a lot of recovering of data.
Well, you know what?
Junk.
It really depends on the model, because I can open up one machine, the same manufacturer's number, and open up another machine and have a different hard drive brand.
Yeah.
Depending on how many they've purchased and what revision it is, you might get a Hitachi, you might get a Fujitsu, you might get a Mac Store.
You never know.
It's hit or miss.
You know your dreams? Sometimes dreams do come true, my friend. That's why Matt called in. Matt, welcome to the Computer Corner. How can we help?
Thank you. Appreciate taking the call.
You bet.
I recently broke the screen on my MacBook Pro.
Wait. MacBook Pro, and you said broke. They don't break. I've been told.
Well, I put it under the, well, somebody put it under the recliner and reclined it back, and it split the screen, the LCD on it.
But they're made of impenetrable steel. Even kryptonite, even kryptonite could not hurt a Mac.
I believe the sofa was made of kryptonite.
All right.
So it's possible. I don't know.
All right. But, apparently they do break. Newsflash. We're going to have to call the press. Lewis, he's got a broken hinge on his MacBook. What can he do?
So is it a hinge or a screen? What was it?
It's just the screen, actually. Just the LCD.
The LCD?
Split, and it still works, actually, but it's terrible, you know, to watch.
But it's oozing. And
right.
Yeah. So, you can get the LCD replaced on those. You're going to want to bring that down to one of our locations or a competitor.
Good luck finding one of those guys.
But the displays typically will run you about $300 or so, and then you're looking at an hour and a half to 2 hours of labor to get something like that put on.
Now, Matt, I'm going to tell you, Lewis, not a very good guy. I wouldn't recommend him, but his guys that work for him, they're pretty awesome. So,
all right.
If you're looking for a place to get that kind of stuff done.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, all just right. Go to MacMediaInc.com, and you can find the addresses to either of our locations, and we can always come to you as well.
Okay, MacMedia.com?
MacMediaInc.com.
Media, okay. All right.
If you forget that, if you have troubles getting there at our website, under the radio show section this week, we've got a link right to his site there. So you're hooked
right,
up either
perfect.
Way. All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Matt, and good luck with your oozing MacBook. impenetrable MacBook.
Well, see, and I forgot to mention that to you, Brandon, that sometimes machines do break, but it's typically due to destruction.
Right. Destruction.
Well, you know. That we have people that like to throw their laptops or their iPhone gets flung across the room, those types of things.
All right. Well, so apparently Macs do have problems. In fact, there may just be another caller on the lines with some Mac problems.
Wow.
So when we come back from this break, we're going to find out who's hanging out there. We got a line open for you, 602-277-5827. Stick around to find out, do Macs really break? Are they really bulletproof? Does that sound as good in your headphones as it sounds in mine?
Yeah.
Hey, turn that back up a little, Pete. I got to wear headphones more often. That sounds really good in headphones. I think I'm going to drive with headphones on. Is that a bad idea?
As long as you're not texting.
No, it's a bad idea. Text. While I'm texting and driving with headphones on.
And shaving.
Shaving and doing my hair. Sounds awesome, right?
Yeah, but these Bluetooth headsets aren't any better because people are, you know, if you're in California, you can't talk and drive, and they're sitting there fidgeting with their Bluetooth headsets and can't figure out how to answer the call or hang up or.
Yeah, we need an implant in our ear, basically,
implant.
And then you just think it needs to be louder, and it just turns itself up and stuff like that. That'd be righteous.
Might cause cancer.
Yeah.
So who cares? Everything causes cancer.
Pretty much. Hey,
just put a disclaimer on it.
Before we went to break, Lewis was kind of upset because he wasn't getting any Mac love, and so we said that, and wouldn't you know, someone called up, and the indestructible Mac had a problem. And then another guy called up, and his name was Alan, and he joined us on the air. Hey, Alan.
Hey, this is Alan. So somebody finally explained it to me that it's not that Macs don't have problem, it's that the clannish following that owns Mac. When they do have a problem, they're just a little too embarrassed to tell anyone about it because, of course, Macs never have problems.
Oh.
And if you admit that you have a problem with your Mac, then it's obvious that it's actually a problem with you.
Well, yeah, if you admit that, you get kicked out of the club.
So there's Mac people are all in the closet about their problems with their machines.
They're just so ashamed. They just go to the store and they just buy a new one. They tuck the other one away. And they just don't tell anyone that they ever had a problem. They just upgrade.
Cry themselves to sleep at night.
Lead us.
Hey, thanks for the. Do you have anything that you needed solved, or you just called to help us that way?
That was just the funniest comment I've ever heard about Mac problems. And thought I'd share.
I'm on board with that. I like that idea. Hey, thanks for the call, Al. We appreciate
it. We'll see
you later. Bye bye.
Hey, when in doubt, cover it up.
That's right. It's all a big conspiracy. They break. There's problems. We've had proof now. Two people. That's huge proof.
Those are tweeps.
Yeah,
or peeps or whatever you call them now.
Whatever, dude. How about Brian, who's up next here on the computer corner? He's got a problem with his sound?
Yeah, I do, yeah. My computer, thanks for taking my call, by the way.
You bet.
And I don't have a PC, but I just had a Big Mac, if that makes any difference.
Ha, that does make a big difference. Okay. I get it. You guys get it? Wait, it's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming.
Big Mac. Yeah.
All right, right.
Yeah.
Ben's got it. Robert?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, everybody's got it. We're good.
I just had a Mac attack.
but I can promise my next PC will be a Mac.
Your next PC will be a Mac.
If that makes any sense.
Anyway, personal computer? Absolutely.
Sure it does.
My question in regards to my computer recently crashed, and I had to do a repair with my system disk. And when I got all done with it, restored it back to working condition, I had no sound. And at first, doing some clicking, some troubleshooting, the first screen that popped up or the message was the audio device supported by this application is not detected. The
right.
application will exit. So then I went into sound and audio device properties, and it says no audio device.
Right. So once you reload, put that disk in there and reload Windows, that's the first part of a three-step process to getting Windows back to
running. Okay.
We're going back to this again, are we?
Yeah. So
device manager and all that?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Ben, he's got to go get something called some audio drivers, right?
Yep.
So do you know, is your computer a name brand manufacturer, like an HP, a Dell, something like that?
Yeah, it's a Dell.
Okay. So you got to go to Dell's website.
Okay.
And you're going to have to go to their support section. And don't worry, you're not going to have to call them, hopefully.
Gotcha.
And you're going to go to where you can download files and software and stuff.
Okay.
It's going to give you a couple of options. One is it can try to sense what your computer is and tell you what you need. The other is you can put in what they call a Dell service tag or a service code or something like that.
Right.
It's going to be like a 5 or 6-digit alphanumeric number somewhere printed on a sticker on your computer. You type that number in, and it'll tell you all the different things that your computer needs as far as driver software to work properly.
Okay.
So you're going to download each of those things. Now, in your case, you only have a sound problem, so you may only need the sound driver. But there may be other things there that you haven't figured out yet that aren't working. So you might want to just grab them all and follow the instructions that will come with the software on the screen where you're downloading it. That'll tell you how to install it and get it all going again, and it should solve your problem.
Great.
Okay.
I got one more question. It's a stump the panel question, if you don't mind.
Stump the panel. Give it your best shot, Brian.
All right. What's the modem is an acronym. What does it stand for?
Modulate, demodulate. This is so easy, Brian. That's all you got,
man,
for us?
I've stumped a few Windows certified pros and computer IT guys, and I guess I just can't get past the awesome people at Data Doctor. So.
hey, thanks for the free commercial there, Brian. We appreciate it.
And certifications don't necessarily mean you know what you're doing.
You got that right. Thanks for the call, bud.
Hi, bud.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
That was awesome. He didn't even finish his thought. Come on. We all knew it too, right?
Yeah, we did.
I just didn't have a buzzer to hit.
Oh, I see. I have the master mic, so I just jumped in. That's just like me, isn't it? Hey, we got a whole half hour of show left, so make sure you stick around when we come back. More of your calls and questions and some news about Netflix. If you're a Netflix subscriber, you want to stay tuned for that. It's the Computer Corner. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We've got a half hour of show left. Ben's excited. Robert's excited. Lewis is moderately excited.
Ecstatic.
Wow.
Is that ecstatic?
Ecstatic.
With an X? If you're looking for help with your Windows or Mac-based computer or your smartphone or your PDA or whatever it is, we're here to help you at 602-277-5827. If you want to take advantage of some of the resources we have posted regarding recycling your electronics, keep in mind Earth Day coming up next Wednesday, the 22nd of April. We've got resources, how you can securely delete your stuff before you donate, and places that will take in your donation stuff anywhere in the country. We've got those resources anytime online at datadoctors.com/radio. Those are there for you right now. So check those things out. Make sure you do the right thing and don't just throw that in the that thing that you roll out to the curb.
And make sure it's recycled properly.
Yeah. There are some people out there that won't do the right thing when it comes to that. Any of the resources we have posted for you, the people we use, if you bring it to one of our locations and we take it in from you, we check those people out and make sure that they're not just taking the stuff that has some value, selling it, and throwing the rest in the garbage. You could have done that. So.
And there is a link for, I believe, 60 Minutes
yep.
on the website, which which shows some of the nasty stuff that they do with e-waste when it's not recycled properly.
Yep, datadoctors.com/radio. Under this week's links, you'll find the second-to-last links as 60 Minutes follows the trail of e-waste. And kind of a cool little segment there. It was a whole 60 Minutes, 60-minute kind of thing. So
free up some garage room so they can park their car.
Spring cleaning is around the corner here.
Well, I think for some people, spring has already sprung, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I haven't started yet.
Yeah. Well, you're getting ready to move soon, right?
I am.
So he's just clearing a path throughout the house.
Moving is the best spring cleaning one can do.
You got a giant hallway.
I do.
Recycle it all.
Start fresh, right?
Just start fresh. Start new.
Start fresh, start new. Maybe that's what our next caller, Mark, needs to do. I don't know. His problem has to do with something. Mark?
How you guys doing?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Hopefully better after I have a phone with you.
Let's find out.
All right. It's going to sound kind of crazy. I have two problems, and I think they might be related, but the problem itself sounds a little strange. I feel that when I'm on my home computer, there is also somebody else on the home computer.
All right. There was a Michael Jackson song that sounded something like that.
I'll point to specific reasons why I believe that. I don't know. I kind of had heard rumors and different things about people being able to remotely access your computer if you do something stupid like download something or and let them in some way.
I got to tell you, Mark, most of that kind of stuff is not someone sitting and watching like they would a security monitor watching every move you make in that way. Most of the kinds of things, if you get yourself in that kind of trouble, most of these programs are set to automatically just capture keystrokes. And what they're trying to do is... they're trying to look at when you go to a banking website and type in your username and password. They're trying to capture those keystrokes and send them back somewhere for later someone to go, well, you know what they're going to do with that.
Off-seas.
So most of this stuff, your machine is penetrated by things that you do, and the programs are written not to target any individuals. They're just targeting people that stumble across this stuff, and it's just collecting information, sending it back. Usually the companies or the groups or the people that are writing this kind of software, they're not doing anything with the information other than selling it to another group who then takes the next step and does their identity theft or their stealing or whatever it is that they do. So if you think you've got something like that going on, number one, disconnect from the internet. As soon as you've done that, if there is something, it can't go anywhere other than in your own computer. So disconnect and get that machine scanned properly using good software to detect malware, threats, viruses, spyware, that kind of stuff. There's a number of different tools out there. We've got some resources posted at our website, datadoctors.com. In the free help section, you'll see the approved software link. And we've got some stuff there listed that is some pretty decent stuff to just go in and scan and look for these kinds of things. You'll see stuff like Adaware, SpyBot Search and Destroy. You would want to go onto a different PC and download that stuff and then run it on this machine. So there's all kinds of software out there that'll scan and check and detect the presence of these kinds of things.
All right. Now the other problem that I felt was related to that is I have SpyBot and I have Super Anti Spyware. I have one more cleaner that's kind of like it's CC Cleaner.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, I put these things in my computer, and for example, I just had them put in my computer about 3 months ago, and they now all of a sudden don't work, where I click on them and I see the little hourglass come up like it's starting to work, and then nothing happens. I bring it back to the computer place, they reinstall the stuff, and it happens all over again.
Yeah, that's a good sign that you've got a problem, and if you're taking it to a place and all they keep doing is reinstalling the same tools, they're not ever getting to the root of the problem, which is the malware that's in there needs to be taken out. And trust me when I tell you, it can be taken out without having to reformat your drive, which is what a lot of these places will do, because that's the quick, easy way. So if you keep going back to the same place and getting the same results, which don't sound to be good results, I think I'd be shopping for a different place.
Yeah, well, it's happened twice. This is now, I guess technically this is the third time that I'm in the position where this is happening. So
part of what anybody ought to do is getting it cleaned up is step one. Getting some good software in to help prevent and protect is step two. And the third step is somebody spending a little time with you and whoever else uses the computer educating you on the rules of the road, because it's possible that they're doing their job fine, except for they're not telling you how you're getting infected, and so you're getting yourself reinfected again by what your actions are.
Gotcha. They do clean my computer out, and then they reinstall the stuff, but then a couple months down the road it happens again. So they are doing the cleaning, and they'll tell me, like, I pulled, you know, this out, or I pulled that out.
Okay. I mean, when people come into our shops, we always, when they have this kind of problem, we spend time, we tell them at check-in, look, when you come to pick this up, plan on spending some time with us. It's not going to cost anything more. We just want to go through and explain to you, because the software itself, cleaning it up obviously has to be done. The software itself is like having anti-lock brakes and airbags. They help if you get into an accident, and they help minimize the damage. But if you don't know how to drive, you're going to get in that accident. So the final part is us or somebody spending time explaining to you, look, these are the kinds of things you've got to not do. If you have teenagers in the house, I know they want to get free music. File sharing sites are the best way to get yourself infected with this kind of stuff. So you got to stay away from that. If you're on MySpace, if you're on Facebook, you got to be careful on what you click on. If you're getting links to places that are trying to view online videos and it's telling you you don't have the right kind of player installed, another huge trap. It takes about 10-15 minutes for somebody to show you the kinds of things that you can change in your habits that'll keep you from getting back into the same position again.
It's embarrassing. I don't have teenagers in my house, but three of the things you just said are things that I do.
Yeah, so somebody just needs to understand how you use a computer, fixing it is only half of the job. When it comes to computers, the most important ingredient, the most important part is not the computer. It's you. It's how you use it. It's what you're doing. If somebody doesn't take the time to understand how you use it and the things that you do and the things that are important to you, they can fix that computer all they want, and it'll work great for them, but it's not going to work good for you. So make sure you're partnered up with somebody that's going to focus on you.
Yeah, I definitely don't have the education part of that whole scenario. I haven't gotten the education part, and that's definitely what I need.
Yeah, you need somebody that's going to help you with that, and that should be part of the repair, because they have to help repair you and your actions too.
Gotcha. Can I find somebody on your website?
Absolutely. You go to our website, and you stick in your zip code, and you're going to – our website's datadoctors.com. You're going to be directed to a Data Doctors location in the Phoenix metro area. I think we got 22 of them, so you'll find one around you, I'm sure.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for
appreciate
the call.
It.
We appreciate it, Mark.
Bye
bye. I don't think I can hang up on him for some reason. Pete, can you hook me up there, line 4? I must have done something wrong. I'm sure you'll tell me later what I did, because I did it good.
You've hit the wrong analog button.
Yeah, it could be. Can you believe that the phones work the way they work? And in a station that's pretty high tech, I mean, Pete's back there. He's got all kinds of buttons and cool things and computers that run the whole world over there. All this gets recorded on computers, but the phones are these weird 1910 phones.
Well, normally you can judge technology by the number of LEDs it has.
And the number of blinky things?
Blinky lights. Very important.
And if they're blue, you know that they were brand new in 2004.
Yeah, it's a hot color.
Not anymore. It's already gone. Have you noticed
that? Is it gone? What are we going to?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
Maybe orange.
Yeah, maybe.
Pink.
Maybe we'll research that. We're going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, more of your calls and questions. And we've got resources posted for you if you're looking for a place to donate and or recycle that used electronics. datadoctors.com/radio. We've got lots of resources, so check those things out. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's the final segment here on the Computer Corner. Ben and Robert want you to know if you missed any part of the show. Fear not. We've got resources and links, and we'll even have the audio archives up shortly after the show. Where do they go, Robert?
They go on to datadoctors.com/radio.
Yes, /radio.
I'm going to probably listen to this one.
/radio. You could do that.
Yeah.
I will get it all chopped up and thrown up there probably Monday, maybe tomorrow.
My family actually listens to those all the time.
Yeah?
They're like, you were on the radio?
And people haven't figured out. You don't have to like come to our site when you want to listen to them. I mean, you can. And you can play them. There's a little player right there. Play them on demand. That's kind of cool. But you can also set up if you have go on to iTunes. Search for Data Doctors. You can subscribe to that little podcast. It'll automatically download it. As soon as we post it, it'll download it right to your computer. You can listen to it when you want. You can put it on, you can podcast it onto your iPhone or your Zune or whatever it is you got, and pretty easy. So check that out. Right? Phones? We got two people hanging. We can help them both, I think, before we have to shut this mother down.
Let's do it.
All right. Matt is up next here on the Computer Corner. Matt, how can we help?
All right. Well, guys, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have got XP Surface 3, and I'm running Outlook 2007. And for about 3 weeks now, every time I open Outlook, I get file in my personal folders did not close properly, and then it goes through its little search. It's trying to figure out what to do.
Right.
And then it just closes, but it never really tells me what file it is or where to go to get rid of it or how to fix it.
So what that is, Outlook is set that if it doesn't close down properly, when you open it up, it goes through and checks everything and makes repairs. And my guess is it's probably not a particular email that you have that's a problem. It's some kind of add-on to Outlook that has a problem.
Add-on. Okay.
Yeah, there's all kinds of add-ons and things you can install.
I bet I have a few.
And any of those add-ons, anytime you add those things on, you got to think to yourself and decide, is this a super-duper, I can't live without it kind of add-on? Because every one of those you install increases your chances of conflicts and problems. And so what I'd start doing is going and taking any kind of Outlook add-ons. Like, for example, there's one that people really like out there called Shinobi or something like that. Starts with an X, X-O-N-B-I, or I don't remember exactly how it's spelled, but it's really popular. It's a cool little add-on.
Okay.
But it's one of many, many add-ons out there, and not all of them play friendly. And some of them will let you do cool things like they work with your phones, and if you right-click and you can choose a contact and make it dial your phone for you, or all kinds of different things. It's not necessarily a bad thing to have these add-ons, but too many of them sometimes can spell disaster. So you'll need to go in and uninstall those or disable them temporarily and then try opening up Outlook and see if you have better results.
All right, that I'll start there. I appreciate it.
You bet. And if that doesn't work, you can also try doing a repair for Outlook, and you get your original disk out, stick it in, and pretend like you're going to install it. It'll kind of figure out, hey, you've already got this stuff on. You want me to try to repair?
Okay.
And you can say yes, and off you go. Or if you go to the Add Remove Programs in the Control Panel and find the one for Office 2007, it should have a repair option in there as well. So any of those things should work. It's also probably going to require the original disk, so keep that handy.
No problem.
Okay. All right.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Good luck, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. We got him taken care of.
Yeah, that was quick.
Yeah, Robert knew all that stuff. He was going to tell him too, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. I was going to say the exact same thing.
And Lewis was just going to say, well, if you had a Mac,
you wouldn't have any problems and everything would be working fine.
Yeah, people don't have email problems on Macs, right? Of course they do.
Actually, you just rebuild the database normally, just the same as you.
Yeah, basically the same. Same exact steps, just different clicks. And you don't right-click on something because they don't have such a thing.
Control-click.
Yeah, because right-click doesn't make a lot more sense. Of course it does.
Well, you can right-click if you
have... See, this is where the Mac is weak.
If you have the Mighty Mouse.
The Mighty Mouse. What about the mouse that came with the dang thing?
It's the Mighty Mouse.
The Mighty Mouse. I heard a Mighty Mouse. There was a show called that. Hey, let's see if we can squeeze Janine in really quick before we have to run. Janine, welcome. How can we help?
Yeah, I ran system restoration on my computer last night. This is the short version of the story.
Okay.
And I did it... I have Windows XP Service Pack 3, and I did it with a backup, and I wanted to know, are my pictures, did I lose all the last 10 years of photos? Well, not 10 years, but all the photos that were in my computer.
It depends on what kind of system restore you ran. If it's the one built into Windows, it should not affect your data at all. But with that being said, if pictures are important to you, which I imagine they are to most everybody, back them up regularly, religiously, whether you have to burn DVDs or CDs or get a thumb drive or an external hard drive or copy them to another computer or email them to yourself or anything.
Yeah, I know. I'm kicking myself. I did save. It has a backup. I ran Windows XP system restoration with my CD that came with my computer.
Ooh.
Backup. And when I went in there, It did save things. I mean, I can see some things in the backup drive, like I had it search for pictures, and there are some pictures in there, but I can't find the big file of pictures.
It might be in a different profile, which means it's not seen when you're looking at, like, my pictures and stuff, but it might be hidden away somewhere.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's a partition. I mean, you can see that the separate drive that's the backup copy of my computer when you're looking in there, but I can't tell if the pictures are there or not. Is this something I'm just going to have to maybe bring it in? I've never done this before, by the way, and I wouldn't have done it except for...
Yeah, so somebody, I had a somebody, virus, somebody knows technically
doing,
what...
I had a virus called Intelligent Explorer or something, and nothing, none of the virus stuff, they could identify it and get rid of it, and it would come right back. And then I tried to do everything that everyone told me to do. I would go to your website, go different places trying to get rid of this virus myself, and then And then it wouldn't even boot anymore.
Right. So yeah, anybody, if somebody...
I should have, right in the very beginning, backed up all my photos, but I didn't.
You should be backing them up when your machine's working well, more important than when it's not. But here's... So somebody who knows a little bit about technology and stuff, what they'll do is just do a quick search based on what we call a file extension for all the common file types of pictures. Because the first thing is, let's locate those first.
I did do a search for pictures, and it said I had 11,000 pictures, and it wanted me to, you know, be more specific. And so
11,000 sounds like we're on a good track. So now you just need somebody who can help put those where you expect them to be, and hopefully they're all there, and then get you set up with a proper regular backup regimen that works for you. Remember we talked about, if you were listening earlier?
Well, I
part
do
of
have
computers
a system
is,
restore.
Yeah.
I do have the system restore, but it wouldn't work.
Yeah. Stay away. Yeah, stay away from that thing. It's designed for technical people. And if that's not you, be very, very careful what you do. But get backed up before you do anything more. Get somebody that can help you, that focuses on you. If you missed any part of the show, again, datadoctors.com/radio. Hey, Lewis, thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
During the week, MacMediaInc.com for him. And for the rest of us, we'll see you next time.